Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Malene Hoff, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Mo Bamba. Malene Hoff, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always enjoy talking to Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago, fine Bulls reporter, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Better after hearing that intro. That really put a smile on my face this morning.
That's good.
So help us out. You know, we look at this, and I know there is another. Listen, everybody and their uncle is convinced that Zach LaVine will be signing the Bulls know what the contract is. They're going to give him the max deal. He's going to sign it, and they're going to be off and running. And even Woj dropped a bomb about it, which is nice because it's just reinforcement of what we believe is going to happen. And we've had AK on, and he's talked about continuity. Is it a lock in your mind? Is there any way? I mean, Zach would be the most desirable free agent on the market, but it doesn't feel like there's many free agents on the market.
Yeah, it's pretty much a lock in my mind. And it's from the Bulls' side, they've been pretty clear about this, you know, at least publicly from the beginning, that they were committed to keeping Zach around, that they were committing to doing what it takes to do that. And really, I mean, that started last offseason when they, you know, they could have cut salary and renegotiated and extended his contract, but they chose to go after free agents like DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, to put a winning team around Zach LaVine. That's how this whole kind of retooling track began, with Zach establishing himself as an all-star and then going to trade for Nikola Vucevic to try to accelerate the timeline. The question was always, you know, is Zach going to explore his options? And, you know, I think he will. He's at least said that he's going to. But at the end of the day, when you look at the cap space teams out there, a lot of them are in, you know, let's put it diplomatically, rebuilding situations. And the Bulls have always had the advantage of having that fifth year to go to. You know, that extra year salary puts, you know, a potential max contract over $200 million. And it's a good situation. I mean, it's a winning situation now. It's a situation where Zach is a face of the franchise type figure and will be for years to come. So that's obviously the biggest item on the Bulls free agency agenda. And I do expect them to be successful in retaining him.
All right, Rob, I know you have a handle on this, but let's go into it. Assuming the Bulls are able to sign Zach LaVine, in terms of cap space, in terms of their available salary slots to address the other needs that still exist, where are the Bulls in terms of cap space and the salary slots available?
Yeah, so even with the Zach max, they'll be under the tax, or at least I'd expect them to be, which would give them, I mean, their biggest asset would be that non-tax mid-level exception, which is going to be around $10 million of maximum first-year salary, which they don't have to use all of it. They also don't have to use all of it on one player. You could split that between multiple players. They obviously have a few needs to address on the margins. But, yeah, I'd expect that to be their biggest asset. They also do, if they want to make a trade with that trade exception that they got from the Daniel Tice sign and trade last offseason, they can take in up to $5 million in salary without sending any back in a trade. So in keeping with their kind of the front office's theme of wanting to make marginal upgrades and keep the core intact, they do have marginal assets to improve. But I do think that non-taxpayer mid-level, I mean, that's what they got Alex Caruso for last offseason. So if they can work their magic and maybe find an undervalued guy that can flourish in a bigger role, You know, there certainly is an opportunity to improve the roster, even in a marginal way.
And would you do that with a shooter, or would you do that with the rim protector? You know, I think what's fascinating about the draft pick is neither of those positions were addressed, and those are the things we thought they needed. But that tells you they're going with the player they thought was best at the position at that spot in the draft.
Yeah, just surveying the free agent market as I've done over the last few days or weeks, I think it kind of makes more sense to invest a little bit more of that asset base into the rim protector aspect. One, it's an area of need that Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have talked about ad nauseum, adding size, adding rim protection to complement Nikola Vucevic. You know, it was such a hole in this team, the backup front court last year. You had guys like Tristan Thompson, Derek Jones Jr., Tony Bradley, Alizé Johnson early in the season, taking that backup center mantle. And there was a real drop-off when Nikola Vucevic would leave the floor. And even he has his, own defensive limitations. So I think when you look at the market of centers, of rim protectors, Isaiah Hartenstein, Mo Bamba, Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks, there are just more names that I could see worth investing that $5 to $10 million a year range than in the shooting market. I think that's something that I would probably approach with minimums, maybe with that trade exception, try to find something a little bit more creative. But the rim protector thing, I think, is a little bit easier of an issue to solve, using a little bit larger share of that non-taxpayer mid-level. So that's, I don't know for sure, but that's kind of what I'm expecting them to do, and we'll see what they do.
Okay, Rob, they will consider a lot of different possibilities, but we had one kind of head-to-head discussion this morning. I'd like you to address it. Mo Bamba versus Mitchell Robinson, pros and cons of each and relative cost.
Yeah, so relative cost, I would expect them to probably be around the same price, maybe Mitchell Robinson a little bit more expensive, a little bit more proven. The problem with both, they're both restricted free agents, or at least have the potential to be, so their teams, Mo Bamba, the Magic, Mitchell Robinson, the Knicks, would have the opportunity to match them and bring them back, even if they did get to the point where they signed an offer sheet with the Bulls. Robinson, like I said, a little bit more proven, definitely a better rebounder, a little bit stronger, a little bit more, interior heft. And I think while he needs, both of them need to develop, I think he's been a little bit more consistent at the NBA level than Bamba. But Bamba, I mean, it's the same thing as when he was drafted, right? That the skill package that he brings to the table and the upside is tantalizing. He's coming off a career year. He averaged, I think, 11 points, 8 rebounds, almost 2 blocks, shot 38% from 3. So I think the theory of Bamba is somebody that I'd love for this Bulls team because he addresses a shooting need. He addresses the shot blocking need. To me, even if he's not, the lottery pick that he was once thought to be in terms of, quality of player, he could be a pretty good third big if he can achieve that consistency. He's a little bit more of a gamble, but the ceiling is higher than Robinson. I think Robinson of those two choices would be a little bit of the safer bet. So that's how I'd summarize it.
I know this is silly, but every time anybody leaves any team, like Blake Griffin is now a free agent. The guy is 33. He hasn't started a ton of late. He's obviously a different player than he was when he was in Detroit or with the Clippers. But a guy like that is who would fit the Tristan
Andre
Thompson
Drummond,
mode.
Veterans who have had success elsewhere.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think those are on the spectrum of possibilities. To me, those would be more kind of fail-safe or backup options. I think the Tristan Thompson case is actually kind of a cautionary tale in reading too much into past accomplishments. Because even though Tristan had his moments early in the tenure, I think we could all agree that didn't necessarily pan out in the way that the Bulls thought it was going to. And now not having a biannual exception because they used some of it on him. I think those are good backup possibilities. It's always good to have a vet. The Bulls could certainly use more vets, more people with deep playoff experience. But you don't want to read too much into guys' past accomplishments. I actually think if they can swing, a Bamba, Robinson, Hartenstein, a guy who's in their early to mid-20s but can still contribute immediately, I think this roster, could certainly use more guys with upside as much as they could use veterans too.
What is the upside of some of the three-point shooters on the market, Rob? They're not going to have a ton of money to spend, and there might not be shooters out there worth overspending for, but what does the market look like?
Yeah, it's a little bit slimmer pickings than the front court guys. I mean, you've got Gary Harris out there. I mean, honestly, there's more kind of perimeter defender types when you look at like a Victor Oladipo Torian Prince just went off to Minnesota. He's a guy I kind of had my eye on. Pat Connaughton re-upped with Milwaukee. He's a guy I would have had my eye on. So, honestly, I think it's going to be minimums. I think that's where you see a veteran potentially come into play, one of those kind of older guys. And it really, I mean, this is where it would also really behoove the Bulls. It's easier said than done, but to find, you know, a shooting element in a big guy. And that's, I think that's really a part of the huge intrigue around Bamba, at least for me, being that third big who could potentially get up 4 or 5 threes a game and shoot them in mid to high 30s percentage-wise. And then obviously you're able to carry over a lot of schematic stuff from when Nikola Vucevic is in the lineup. So I'm a little bit more curious to see what they do with the shooting thing, just because I don't see a ton of surefire paths. That doesn't mean there isn't one that isn't going to work. It's just more difficult to see. You know, potentially, I would be also on the lookout for trades in that respect, just because the free agent market is so slim.
I'm curious, when we talk about the summer league, you know, obviously the Bulls had, we heard yesterday that the Patrick Williams will be there and Ayo Dosunmu, but not, they will be there to work out, not to play in the summer league games. I know they, you know, they have the kid from Marquette. They signed to a two-way deal and he will be a part of that team. And I saw Sedarius, can't think of his name,
Thornwell.
They've signed him to be on that team, a guy that was in the NBA for a while, and I think he was in Germany last year. Is that the kind of team they're going to be putting together? Do you expect any surprises with the summer league team? I mean, you know, hopefully maybe Lonzo Ball shows up someday just to visit and to see how he's doing. I don't know.
I'd expect most of the team to be out there just to visit. I mean, that's a good kind of bonding opportunity. You guys get together. I mean, last year, I believe, you know, most of the coaching staff went out, or at least Billy. So it's where the entire NBA meets. So I expect most of the team to at least be there in an observing capacity. In terms of the roster, the biggest thing I was watching for was Pat and Ayo. I think it makes a ton of sense for them not to play games. Those are two guys that are going to be rotation fixtures this year. There's not really a need to risk injury. Pat and Ayo, they both played it last year. Pat, at least, I think, showed everything he needed to show in that environment. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to see, and what I liked so much about what they did last summer with the team, it seemed like they just built a team that was designed for Patrick Williams to never pass the ball and just kind of get up 15 to 20 shots a game and score and get, you know, on ball scoring reps. I don't know if Dalen Terry is that type of player. We got to see what he looks like. And actually, I think for a lot of people that are, you know, still a little perplexed by the pick, it'll be really a valuable experience to get to see him against NBA level talent. I honestly wouldn't mind if it's a team of a lot of forgettable guys and it's just, you know, the Dalen Terry show. I think that would be a really interesting thing to watch. It would be, you know, he talks about wanting to improve his shooting, particularly his off the dribble shooting. Could be a good environment to work, you know, through some stuff in that department, because, you know, as far as summer league goes, I mean, we all watch it, we all analyze it, but it really is a low stakes environment where you can't take too much away, positive or negative. It's just a time to play free and see what's working, see what's not, and then go into the rest of the offseason to work on stuff. That's what Ayo did last year. He kind of struggled in summer league, and by the start of training camp was a completely different player because he really invested in improving what he needed to improve over the next month or two. Summer league rosters, the way they fill out, it's you know, sometimes you get a couple names in there that end up on the training camp invite list and maybe end up fighting for a roster spot. But for the most part, I think it's worth it for Bulls fans to just focus on the draft picks and obviously Justin Lewis, the two-way guy, and see what they do.
Rob, focusing on Dalen Terry, I felt like he was a solid, not spectacular pick, but it also reflected the patience with which Arturis Karnišovas is running this organization. And we heard from him the other day kind of lean in and embrace the continuity, as many people thought he might. But at any point, did you think before the draft or even heading into free agency that there will be maybe this bold, unexpected move, or they might be making a step in the direction of the more win now mentality that some of these trade possibilities represented?
Yeah, I think anything's possible, but I am starting to kind of take them at their word with the stuff about continuity, just because it's been so consistent and their actions to this point have backed it up. But the thing with this front office, I always kind of try to separate the draft from everything else, because they came in from the beginning touting that quote unquote best player available approach. Now, obviously every team says that, but it seems like the Bulls really live by it, roster, you know, context independent. I know a lot of people were kind of fixated on the fit. To me, if Dalen Terry is a wing, which is how the front office sees him, kind of as a guy who could play, you know, the two and the three, I think he does kind of fill a need, you know, no matter how much he can contribute immediately, because they need wing depth. And, you know, at the very least, he kind of fits, at least to my eye, a broader philosophy that this front office has seemed to take, especially in the draft. These kind of long, rangy athletes, defensively active, you know, things to refine on offense, but like really, you know, hyper-competitive. Like, I think Io is a great example of that. Patrick Williams, in terms of the physical tools, is an example of that. So to me, the pick didn't surprise me in the way that it fits into Arturis Karnišovas' broader basketball philosophy. But I get why it was a little bit of a surprise in terms of the roster fit and also his draft range. I think he wasn't projected to be a second round pick or anything, but I think like early 20s was his range. So it might've been a pick or two higher than some people expected. But to me, I'm open-minded to him. He, you know, seems like, you know, the type of kid whose makeup is going to lead to consistent improvement. And after watching him a little bit more, I'm pretty intrigued by the skill set. So it'll be interesting to see what summer league and his rookie season looks like.
I'm just curious, when we look at that and think about how they are moving forward, I mean, continuity, all that stuff, Lonzo Ball has played in 61% of the possible games during his career. And uh-huh. And I know he's coming off the knee. Do we know anything? I mean, it's great that everyone's hopeful he'll be ready for training camp, but are you hearing anything? Do you know anything? Is there anything out there about Lonzo Ball and his availability?
No, it's pretty close to the vest, which is how they've played a lot of this type of stuff. But it seems like the report is he's quote-unquote progressing, doing quote-unquote well, like relative to what, I'm not really sure. but what I took most away from AK and Mark, I guess it was Mark who commented publicly on right. It, was that although they're hopeful, like you said, they were not quite ready to commit to questions like, would he be playing in a game if the Bulls were playing today?
Right.
Will he be ready by training camp? Again, there's a hopeful tone to the things that they're talking about. But my concern with the Lonzo Ball situation is not really going to go away until, you know, one, maybe bump into him at summer league, see what's going on there. Or two, you know, in training camp, actually seeing him out on the court 100% healthy. You know, again, I love being optimistic, but he's such an important piece to this team. And like you said, he's such a key part of the continuity element. You know, this team, no matter how much the guys get to know each other and play another year together, if the last season's improved, then none of it really goes without Lonzo Ball. So my concern with that is not really going to dissipate until probably training camp at the very earliest. So, you know, that'll be something to watch when that comes around.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Good stuff,
good,
Rob.
Man. Rob, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That is Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago, does a great job.
Does a terrific job breaking it down. He is right about Lonzo Ball. Seeing will be believing, and until that, hope is not a plan. Hope is what it represents. You just don't know certain things about his availability.
They're good with him. I don't know what else to say about it. 312-644-6767. We, of course, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I'm confident. I'm confident in, you know, approaching this free agency, you know, next couple of days, sitting down with our group, you know, looking at a lot of things. And June 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern time, that's when conversations start.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of our tourist, Connor Chauvis, the executive vice president of the Chicago Bulls. And, you know, look, the first order of business, it starts tomorrow at 5 p.m. in Chicago, and the first order of business is to get Zach LaVine signed, sealed, and delivered.
And what's your prediction?
Yes. Well, listen, they can offer him more money than anybody else. Okay. And he has said he's coming back
here. Let me rephrase.
And he has told people that. And they say they know what they are going to do, and they're going to bring it back.
How fast? And will it be truly a happy hour?
Yes. Don't you believe that?
I do, too. Between 5 and 6, we're going to hit the news.
Yes.
Whether it's a Woj bomb or Casey Johnson, somebody's going to have the information that this is the move the Bulls have to make. If they want to be a team that embraces the continuity that AK mentioned, it starts with Zach LaVine signing that contract and becoming a max player. Now, the Bulls can do whatever they can after that to address their needs. But sometimes it's not always what you do with your team, but what happens around you, what happens in the Eastern Conference. That's interesting, too. So I want to ask you this. The Nets bringing back Kyrie to go with Kevin Durant, and maybe they'll be together for a full season this time without the James Harden distraction. Maybe Ben Simmons, somebody that is healthy enough to play and contribute. Where do the Nets fit into the balance of power in the East? And are we going to start to take the Knicks more seriously if they indeed go out and pay Jalen Brunson, local guy made good, joins his dad on the Knicks payroll?
$100 million? That's local guy made real good.
That's really good. Are the Knicks a team to be taken seriously? Because you've got the Pistons, you've got the Cavs, you've got a lot of teams that aren't at the top that might be with the Bulls trying to get there.
Jalen Brunson, Stevenson, is that where he went? Stevenson High School. Great player in high school. He goes to Villanova, and he wins a championship at Villanova, and then he's with Dallas, and now he's getting paid. And God bless him. The idea of Tibbs with a guy like Jalen Brunson, that seems like his kind of guy, right? Is that fair to...
From a mindset, from a mentality,
right,
exactly. From a toughness mentally, I think that standpoint, yes, he's not a defensive player.
Well, he's a hard-nosed, tough kid.
And, he'll try.
And he fills in a lot of blanks. You know, he can do a lot of things, and he can run a team, and he's got a lot of, you know, floor general to him. And I think that if I were him, I could see wanting to play for Tibbs. And if I were Tibbs, I could see him wanting to run his team through Jalen Brunson. So I like that matchup. Now, David, you mentioned the Nets. So Kyrie has opted in. I you know, and I wonder, does that mean Kyrie has really opted in? Kyrie agreeing to take the money. Okay, I'll take the money. And he's not getting the contract extension. He and KD, if Kyrie can play every game in the season, if Kyrie wants to win, I think that that's a very dangerous team. That remains as good a twosome as you're going to find, provided they, provided there is full commitment from one of the two.
Or Ben Simmons, doesn't he factor in as well?
I don't
do you,
know what
do you
to
count
expect.
On him.
Ben Simmons is kind of the Yoan Moncada of the Nets. I don't know what you count on with him. I don't know if he's. I don't know. I think it's a really hard call. I think that they were kind of stuck with him. They made that trade, and they thought they were going to get something, and they thought that he was holding out because of bad relationships in Philly. It turns out it was there was deeper things than that, and he needs his mental health to be right for him. But, I mean, that there you're talking about a seven-foot point guard that can defend a lot of different positions.
Well, the defensive addition and what he means to them on that end of the floor. To me, if he is healthy, then I do think the Nets reassert themselves as maybe one of the two or three favorites in the Eastern Conference. If he doesn't play and he can't, I don't know if defensively they are good enough to overtake some of the teams in front of them. But KD and Durant, KD and Kyrie, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't overstate just how dangerous they can be together.
And Ben Simmons can help. He's not a centerpiece.
No.
It's a ton of money invested, but he can help that team if he's capable of playing and he wants to play.
So
you don't know what people – I'm not kidding about this. You know, when AK talked about competitiveness being something that they really value, does Kyrie have that? When he's on the floor, he's really good. Does he want to play? Is he committed to that team? Does Ben Simmons have that? Does he want to play? Is he committed to the team? You know, Kevin Durant is one of the great players in the league. He makes a joke out of scoring. He can score from any spot on the floor. Where is he at this stage in his career? Does he need to prove something? Does he want to win a title without having to go sign with a great team that won one without him this year?
Yeah, I think that those are good questions. And I think the fact that they don't have a proven coach makes you wonder about how they're going to be able to tie it all together. But talent alone makes them a threat. And talent alone puts them ahead of the Bulls, in my book, in the Eastern Conference heading into next season as we sit here right now, before free agency, before the Bulls add to the mix. And then you've got...
So who else ahead of them?
Well, you look, yeah. Nets, Celtics... Celtics are, you know,
yes,
defending
no question.
Eastern Conference champions.
In fact, I'd say Celtics over Nets right now.
Okay. Yeah, in no specific order,
okay.
But the teams ahead of the Bulls. Celtics, Bucks, Nets, Sixers.
Yes.
Heat.
Probably.
So now the Bulls are the sixth seed?
That's what they were.
Well,
and
have they not gotten any better, or is it just everybody else has improved that much more?
You
combination of both.
Tell me if the Bulls are going to be at full health. Tell me if continuity means healthy and everyone playing.
Well, if the Bulls,
if everyone can stay healthy and they can have that team, then I think they could challenge.
If the Bulls are at full health, are they better than the Celtics?
No.
I don't know about that. I think you're probably right. Because I think the Bulls at full health, we haven't seen them at full health for, what, 9 games? When I say full health, I mean Patrick Williams too, Lonzo Ball and Caruso. Everyone available at the same time, so they go 9 and 10 deep. The rotation is pretty deep and talented, Mully. I don't want to overstate and be overly provincial here, but when the Bulls, before the injuries, with Lonzo Ball and Caruso, you know, they were the best team in the Eastern Conference for an extended period of time. Then they got hurt, then everyone else caught up, and the Celtics got good. So I'm not saying that they are better than sixth in the conference if they are fully healthy, but I think they've got to believe they are, or else they would be more aggressive in this offseason. They have to believe that embracing continuity gives them a better than chance to be better than sixth in the conference.
Just tell me, when does Lonzo Ball play and for how long? I need to know that piece of information before I can judge him. Tell me how they, you know, we heard Mark Eversley say, a compliment to Vooch, that they needed to get a rim protector who was a compliment to Nikola Vucevic.
So are Who's you that? Of the belief that if they can do that, let's say Mo Bamba hypothetically, or Mitchell Robinson.
That might be putting them over the top. Either of those guys might be
do you think
better than Vooch.
After free agency, we may have the same type of discussion. I'll ask you the same question next week. Could the Bulls conceivably put themselves in a spot to be among the top four?
Yeah, I think they could if we get a really good medical report and Lonzo Ball. I know I keep saying that, but to me that's a wild card in this whole conversation.
That's the asterisk for the 2022-23 season.
And it's do you feel, when you heard Mark Eversley answer questions about that, did you feel confident that everything was set and everything? I didn't.
Not at all.
Not remotely.
And more tellingly, I feel like when we asked Arturis about it, when we had him on before the press conference, I don't think that he went out of his way to sound overly optimistic about it. He was pretty real, and I guess he sounds pretty even keeled anyway. But I don't think that he oversold Lonzo Ball's health. He basically talked in the now. And now they don't have to play a game tomorrow. They're not playing next week or next month. He said by training camp. Well, we'll wait and see. That
right.
means that they still have some uncertainty surrounding
That's
a situation
right.
that you thought would be further along by now.
You know, it's really funny, and it's not funny, but I forget who we talked to. But the Bulls had gotten Tristan Thompson, and we were told that people were laughing, that people in Chicago were as excited they were about Tristan Thompson. But it was like, oh, good, they got a guy that's now going to help. They're going to be able to defend the – oh, damn it. And you know, he talked a great game when he came
did.
In. I mean, it
well,
was like,
he,
yeah.
He defended teammates.
Oh, my God.
He talked like he'd been a Bull since Rodman wore the uniform.
Fantastic.
He hit
now,
all of things.
I will say I got excited about that, but part of what he brought that they did not have was playoff experience. That was, I think, thing that
But Rob Schaefer said it well when I asked him about Blake Griffin. You know, hey, that's a guy that's available. And I saw that I'm trying to think who it was. Someone reported that the Bulls, someone heard from an Eastern Conference executive that the Bulls were one of three teams, like the Bulls, the Heat, and maybe the Lakers were interested in Blake Griffin. And I thought, Blake Griffin, boy, didn't he used to jump over cars? Didn't he once,
did.
You know, I mean,
he did.
He's used not that guy.
Keyword, right, as we
he's not
about
that
earlier,
guy.
Right?
And it's you know, it's great if you have playoff experience, but you know,
but I'll admit, I like the idea at the time because I thought that would help them maybe get past the first round when they originally signed him.
Yeah, well, it didn't.
I thought they needed that experience too. I felt like he was going to be a bigger contributor than he turned out to be, and I overestimated the ability to play with Vooch and Tristan Thompson. That was not a good combination or pairing at all.
My point is that just because you make a move doesn't mean it's the right move. And I will hold judgment on the Bulls and where they fit into the Eastern Conference when I see who's available to them.
Okay.
And when I see if anything else goes awry or when I see what else they've done and added. Sneaky good move to get Caruso. You didn't think that was going to happen at the time. And he ended up being a pretty good player for them. But, you know, they are a team – as much as any team we've seen in Chicago, that is, there have to be a lot of those parts available to them.
Right.
They you need that addition of the whole if you really want to judge them as individuals.
It's a good way to put it. And by the way, before you go out and buy your Blake Griffin poster, as Brandon points out correctly, he didn't even get into the Nets rotation.
No, I know. I'm just saying, live body guy you've heard of. Oh.
Andre Drummond fits in that category.
Yes,
right?
He does. It's
at
another
this
guy.
Point in time,
that yeah.
A big who might be exciting. And if you look at the back of his basketball card or you do the Wikipedia research, all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, he once was something. Once.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I mean, we talk in circles about this stuff. Hey, are you interested in the White Sox? You got to go check out the Southsiders podcast, the official hub for all things Chicago White Sox. It's hosted by Shane Reardon and Gabe Ramirez. Southsiders analyzing the ups and downs of every series, getting their info from the source, team and media members alike, to keep you up to date on the Chi Sox. Shane Reardon and Gabe Ramirez, Southside. Twitter is @Southsiders670. and you can listen every week on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Mully and Haw. We're going to talk to Chelly. He was front and center yesterday.
Wrigley Field.
Yeah, he looked pretty good for himself, and we'll find out what he thinks of Luke Richardson. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mully and Haw.
No better way to wake up in the morning than with you two.
Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score. Chris Chelios.
Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith to head to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a fun time talking to Chris Chelios. You see him around town. He's at the Cubs games, David.
He's everywhere.
He's at the Sox games. He's everywhere, and he is... joining us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Loved seeing you on TV yesterday, and I thought to myself, wow, Chelly gets great seats. He really does get the best of seats. Congratulations for that. You know, I mean, it's a lot of sway you have around town. That's pretty good.
Well, I guess I got some friends that got great seats, so what a beautiful night it was. Obviously, just finished up the finals. It was nice to sit out in Wrigley Field, have a few drinks, and relax.
So, Chelly, you know everybody. Just curious, they also showed the This Is Us guy, Justin Hartley. I think he plays Kevin on the show. Were you in his company? Do you know him, and did you guys mingle?
I do not, and someone pointed him out. Quite honestly, I haven't seen his show, but they say it's a good show. And he's a Chicago kid, right? He's a Northside kid.
I think so. Yeah.
So I'm always cheering for the Chicago guys. So it was, should have went. I made a point to see it, but I was so comfortable in my seats, I never got up.
Well, let's talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. That was pretty extraordinary to see Colorado. Win in the way they did, and the Lightning foiled. David upset about that. I'm curious, Chris, is there any takeaway? Is there anything that the Blackhawks can learn or follow? Just seems like it's a world of difference right now.
Well, I mean, if anything, Colorado should give them hope. 5 years ago, you know, they were the last place team, I think 58 points. You know, Bednar, they weren't sure about him. That's when Patrick Roy, you know, decided to quit the team just before the season. So, yeah, I mean, who would have known, or you couldn't see that. It's like St. Louis, when they won the cup, I think they were out of the playoffs, one of the last place teams, you know, midway through the year. So it just remains to be seen, you know, what happens here. They're going to need some luck, a little bit of luck in the draft, some surprises, and see what happens. So, I still believe last year was just one of those years where everything went wrong, you know, with that terrible start. You know, they signed Johnson, Jones, the goaltender, and it was one of those years. I just think everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and now, you know, we'll see what happens this year.
Luke Richardson gets introduced later today, Chelly, as the new head coach for the Blackhawks, and he has a distinguished long career. I think you played longer than him, but maybe not many other people did. 21 seasons, 1,400 games. He is a stay-at-home defenseman, as they say. What are the Hawks getting in Luke Richardson?
Just a tough, no-nonsense guy. From what I hear, as far as coaching, the guys that I've spoken to, he's a player's coach, but very, you know, very. He speaks with conviction, and guys respect him. And you know, like I said, he knows the game, smart player. And like I said, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, what they do as far as there's change their style and be a little more responsible defensively, because that was one of their biggest issues this year.
And Chris, I think you know, when we think about a guy like Luke Richardson, there's a gravitas to having played that many games, to having been in the league that long. You know, it's something that you carry with you. When you were playing, what did it mean to you when you had a coach that had that sort of background?
I mean, like I one perfect example would be, you know, Dirk Graham, a guy, hard-nosed player, a guy who didn't coach for a long time, but I don't know if that's the type of coach Luke Richardson will be, but it's like I said, you have respect, and he was a leader, and you know, you tend to believe everything they say, and that what it takes, and you got to get everybody on the whole team, you know, pulling the same way on that rope. So I think Luke Richardson's going to be that type of coach where he'll make them play more as a team.
Rebuild is such a vogue term in sports, Chelly, and you look at the Cubs in town, they're doing it. The Bears are in the midst of one. The Blackhawks certainly look headed in that direction. Luke Richardson, new coach, he's going to be excited. He's going to have a standard that's going to be raised. He's going to have everything that he wants to do, and yet there's going to be a good share of losing, I would expect. How prepared is he for that, do you think, and what makes him equipped to maybe handle the tough road that is ahead?
I mean, like I said, you never know coming into the season. You know, you want them to be a playoff team, right? So I think that'll be the goal for Luke, to just get into the playoffs or at least have a fighting chance and be there at the end of the year playing games that mean something. So I think that would be the expectation for him from the beginning of the season to the end. And another, he's got a lot of young kids on that team. So you don't go into this thinking you're not going to fail. Like that's a terrible recipe for success. It's a new season. You got to come in positive and get this attitude. And like I said, he's got to get them all playing the same way. That was the biggest problem. It's just everybody did their own thing and there was no accountability. And I think that's what he's going to bring to the table.
And there's obviously a lot of work to be done. I think that, you know, when we look at the Blackhawks, we start by wondering, you know, is Alex DeBrincat going to be on this team? Are they going to move him because he's in a bridge deal and it's $6.4 million and then it's expired. And what are you going to pay for that? And he's only 24, but we don't know what kind of teardown the rebuild is. You know, there's no more, it would appear, going out and trying to get veteran guys and trying to kind of patch it together. It seems like all the language sounds like a teardown, and that means that guys that might bring you something are seemingly on the move.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, you mentioned his age. I think that's the key thing. He even if it's a rebuild, you're not thinking more than 3-4 years where they became, you know, they're going to become competitive. So I would see no reason, like, that's why I'm doing TV and, you know, Kyle Davidson's the GM. But his age is the biggest thing, and I would think they'd hang on to him. He's got a lot of good years left in him. You know, the chemistry that him and Kaner have, you're not going to duplicate that. I mean, Kaner, you put anybody with Kaner, they're going to be a better player. But DeBrincat, he's an all-star. And he's you know, I would say that's one guy who probably should be untouchable.
And, Chris, just let me say, you say you're doing TV and you say sort of casually, you did a terrific job
Yes. Throughout
the playoffs. It was a joy to watch you guys do the studio show and the insight you provided. So it was more than you just doing TV. You did it really well.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was unreal to work with Mets. You know, we're a little different. You guys are more analytical and a real serious demeanor to him, and I kind of don't. So I felt like we had some good chemistry with Steve Levy and those guys. So, but like anything else, it's my first year. I know I can get better at it. You just got to work at it like anything else. But I was real lucky. You know, ESPN's first year in like 20 years to get it back and to have the two teams that most people were picking, you know, in the beginning of the year to be in the finals and to the way it turned out, six games, you know, I was real fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. And it was a great experience.
Well, you did a sensational job and we've loved talking to you too. So we'll keep it going. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Chelly.
You bet. Thanks, you guys.
Yep.
That is Chris Chelios, BetMGM. Fantastic song.
It was great. I think that if you were a hockey fan, it was fun just because, we have him every week. We're privileged to do that. But he isn't afraid to offer opinions. And
no, he's strong. He's very opinionated.
He complimented Messier really well. They did a good job with that show.
Yeah, it's really good stuff and really enjoyed that. And I love talking to him. I mean, it's really fun. And, you know, he came in here. I mean, he's like, he is a Chicago guy. He's real people.
And he's right about the predictions at the beginning of the season. I was one who picked the Avalanche and the Lightning to be in the final, except for I picked the Lightning to beat the Avs, which I was wrong.
So that's like a half brag?
I was wrong.
Is that a humble
brag? No, it's not even a humble brag. Okay. Because if you were wrong, you can't brag about being wrong. So. Wow.
I mean, I think it's pretty impressive that you chose the right.
But they were there.
I was told by a guy a $20 bet on the Avalanche ahead of the season returned $900.
To win it all?
To win it all.
Why didn't you put that bet down then?
$20 to win $900.
I would not have bet on them to win it all. I didn't think they could win it all.
Yeah.
Well, you had them going to the – I mean, at that point, you may as well –
at that point, you
had them going to the finals.
I know. I had
thought they'd get swept.
In the Lightning, when – when you're talking about natural forces, the Avalanche and the Lightning, I liked the Lightning, but
bet
I shouldn't.
Bet of integrity. You only bet one team. You don't back it up with what you're maybe, right? So only one bet for David.
No, you're allowed. Right. You're allowed to spread them out. We're going to have Andrew Shaw join us next. It's always great to talk to one of the great.
Shawzy's on hold for right
Shawzy's
now.
On hold, but he might be coming up later. We're efforting
potentially.
Shawzy.
He won't be here at the top. Some family obligations have arisen.
Ah, okay. Well. Hopefully we'll talk to him at some point. 312-644-6767. So what shall we do? Should we go back and talk some White Sox?
I think White Sox, because tonight is a marquee matchup out in California.
One. Yeah, big pitcher's duel. Is that it?
Yep.
Just hit the 11 runs. Greet Ohtani with the –
duel.
There you go.
D-U-E-L. Duel.
Okay. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.